Ear licking.
Here we go again.
I know. Here we go again, right? But ear licking. Oh, gosh. Did you know that you can get in trouble for things that you do outside of work by your employer?
I
unfortunately,
did you know that, Ashley?
I did know that, but I'm curious how that ties into ear licking.
Okay, so imagine that you are at a bar having a happy hour with your team, and
so that's like quasi work, quasi not.
So it's associated, right?
With maybe coworkers.
With coworkers. Okay. That's right. There's no one else there with your party except your team. And you're having a good time and you're maybe an hour or two in, right? So you're a little sloshy, right? You're feeling it. You're feeling good. And then, you know, people want to take a group photo. Well, isn't that dumb? I was going to say sweet, but really that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's the beginning of the party.
Yes, that's the beginning. Evidence, right?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Evidence?
That's just Jamie?
I mean, evidence, you know, I wouldn't be doing like happy hour evidence from the workplace, right? But during that photo, guess what happens?
I can
guess, right? Because I already kicked it off a little. An ear was licked. A supervisor licked the ear of one of his employees, his team members.
His former team member at this point, I'm assuming.
Correct.
Yeah, because he don't work there no more.
Well, somebody's either fleeing the job or going to be fled.
And he did a little ear swirl in there.
I was wondering what the position was and then where, if it was... Just the tip of the ear?
Like a bite. A nibble?
Ooh.
It wasn't a nibble.
It wasn't a Mike
It was
Tyson.
Literally like a... Yeah, like a little, like a circular, like...
Was that caught on picture?
It was very close on the photo. Oh, I know. This is back in the day a little bit. I don't think those photos were moving.
We got you on live photo.
Could you imagine? But that is...
I can now.
Oh, you can. Those are things we would investigate, right?
Oh,
turn that photo on. Let me see it. You know, no, I think it was a little bit back in the day before our photos came to life. You know,
wow.
But could you imagine?
Now, supervisor? Which were you in the situation?
That?
Were you supervisor Lee?
Or no, I'm not into that. Okay. Well, maybe I am, but not in the workplace.
That's state school. That might be a liberal arts school. That's a liberal arts level of we'll dip our toe or our ear.
Yeah, so try it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. But you know, of course, as these things go, as you start investigating, you realize, oh my gosh, so this is the workplace creeper.
Yeah.
You know, the supervisor's always doing creepy shit like this.
What else can...
And
what,
no one had ever shared anything because people do make the assumption, I'm going to talk from my position as an HR leader, that we know everything. We do not. We only know what you all share with us and that we see.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like we literally have to see it or someone has to tell us about it, right? Mm-hmm. We don't always get the rumor mill that, you know, so-and-so's a creeper down on the shop floor.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, you know, so.
They have to be comfortable too. To share that information with us.
But wait,
and there, because there's always fear of retaliation, right? Because this was a supervisor who's doing the ear licking.
Exactly, it makes it that much more difficult.
But let's go back to that moment. What, did the person like jump scare? Like, what was the reaction in the moment of the person?
Like, I would have swung.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I think she took the photo. I think it was like a quick swish in the ear. And then, you know, like we're taking the photo, you know,
I would have been
which is a gross exploitation of power right there.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
For sure.
She's like paralyzed right there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, she had shared with somebody else who then reports that. And you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So then it kind of gets bubbled up and you start investigating and realize, well, this is the grossest person ever who's like going station to station out on the shop floor and like being uncomfortably close to people. And you know, like Ghost with the clay, you know, like Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore sort of shit. You know what I mean?
They're not looking as pleased as Demi is in that situation. They have that like paralyzed where you're
cutting
like
glass.
Well, what face do I have to make to not get fired?
And it's sad. I hate when those would pop, you know? I hate that.
I feel like you in your HR career have had this like game of operation of like the different body parts that you've had in some of
I know
these
there's
like
more.
Between
wait.
Toes. I can't.
I can't wait.
I can't wait. wait.
I can't wait.
But that's something. Yeah. That's something. But but that's probably a topic for this. For some of these episodes are things that happen outside of work that can't. People think that it's like the Harry Potter invisibility cloak of like, I'm out of the office.
Yeah. I can't be held liable for this.
I have First Amendment rights. This is a U.S. Yep. concept. I have First Amendment rights to do anything. Yep. And sometimes people get a shock. What does that have to do with you?
Yeah.
How is it happy hour?
And often I will say, I don't give a shit what you do outside the office.
Correct.
However,
no.
If you're doing it to your coworker and you're doing it non-consensually, I almost said sexually, non-consensually,
but that
and
too.
That person is your, is your supervisor doing it? Oh, no.
I've had some issues with things people have done outside of the office that have nothing to do with coworkers, but that's, but that's for another episode. Now I'm literally like,
we'll
like,
save that water cooler talk.
I hate a wet willy.
Oh,
I know, me too.
I mean, I don't know. I guess, maybe there are people that like that. And so I don't want to shame anybody.
No.
But no, we're not
normally
shame.
It's
you do,
children.
You boo.
Yeah. I'm just trying to fathom. But there's people that'll be like, oh my God, fuck yeah. Because when their supervisor does that, they're like, that is my ticket. And that's what they put in their back pocket. And that stays in their back pocket until something happens to them.
I've got a golden ticket.
Golden ticket, which is the performance issue.
It's giving Wonka.
It's giving Wonka the golden ticket. Let me show you this photo of my supervisor in my ear, and then that conversation changes very, very
or like we use it as leverage. Like I want a raise. I want a 25% raise.
That's right. That is the golden ticket. And HR professionals are nodding and you are listening because you can think about those golden tickets get revealed and it's like the reverse Uno cards.
Yeah. And it may not even be the person whose ear is licked that gets the golden ticket.
Yep.
Because if a coworker sees that, it could be consensual that you're licking in a photo.
Yeah.
There could be an affair there.
Yep.
Right. And now there's favoritism. And then a peer sees that and they escalate that up too. Oh, something's going on with those two and this isn't fair. And we got this. Oh my God. Right. Yeah. All the things, right? There's so many scenarios.
Right.
But in this one, she did not appreciate the tongue in the ear.
This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Welcome, everybody, to season three, right? I mean, here we go. We're kicking it off by filming in San Antonio, Texas.
Yeehaw.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, there you go. That was a little weak yeehaw. Yeah. When it was like, yeehaw.
It's more of the foal than the robust thoroughbred. Dave Ramsey would not approve. I'm more of a donkey than a thoroughbred this morning. But it's
still cute.
Well, we'll warm up.
Yeah. But we were just commenting how much we love San Antonio and how beautiful it is here.
Best.
Just everything. The architecture, the streets,
the people,
the trees. Oh my God. Yeah. The people are amazing.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
So beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm not just saying that because, of course, I'm biased because I'm born and raised here and all of that.
Absolutely stunning.
We love it.
Definitely. I mean, it is a good, it's been a great place to visit.
Yeah, we love it. And so hopefully we can come back and film here again. I'm getting ahead of myself because, you know, this is like episode one of season three. We're just now starting. But no, we do love the San Antonio. So definitely come and visit if you haven't. That's my little, you know, for the tourist bureau, you know, my little stick.
And I are relatively objective and we echo that.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So we got 5 stars so far. That's good. What I'd love to do too is just run through the agenda for this episode, right? So we are going to get into some cringe corporate speak, and Jamie's got that for us today, which is great. And the hot topic for this meeting is all the questies for the besties, right? So we get a lot of questions from you all, and we're so thankful for that. And so we are going to answer a few of those for you all today, so you can learn a little more about us, which is always fun, and we can share a little more with you all. And then, of course, we end with some Q's and C's. We transition into questions and comments. Sound good?
Awesome.
No, it's like a warm blanket. When I hear the theme song come in and I have this agenda, I feel right with the world.
I'm still obsessed with our theme.
I know, I like it.
We picked a good one.
Like Jamie,
well,
what
cool,
you got?
Yeah, I'll kick it off. So for our season 3, first cringe, corporate speak is fun fact. Oh.
I just shuddered.
Yeah. And let's be honest, this is typically heavily used by HR.
It is. We are guilty. I'm yeah. totally, I'm not really guilty.
I'm guilty myself.
I'm totally guilty.
I'm not guilty. I hate that shit.
I personally hate it too. I get why we're doing it, right? We're trying to like loosen up the crowd, or, you know, the meeting, or the all team, the all hands, whatever. And I get the point of it. But, you know, there are people that are introverted or who don't truly just don't want to share a fun fact. So it can make it a little awkward to start a meeting that way.
Yeah. Like that is a way.
On the spot, you know?
Oh yeah. Like you said introverts, right? Well, I'm an introvert, just FYI. I can play both sides though. I'm ambidextrous personalities wise. I'm an actress. But anyways, it is, man, when someone says, we're going to go around the table, everyone give a fun fact. I mean, inside, I'm destroyed.
Oh, like even myself.
I need a pill.
Like, if I'm not the one asking the question, I'm panicking.
I'm panicking.
I'm like, I revert back to 7-year-old Jamie counting paragraphs of which I'm going to read next thing up for the class.
Like, making that's sure my anxiety. You know how to pronounce
the
words.
I got to think of a fun fact.
Yeah. I know. I'm definitely guilty of it, but also guilty not even saying it as much as like, I love it because I love to learn information about other people. But I think it's like that cringe that you look and people are like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Not again. Fact. It's not a fun fact.
God
it's
damn
like,
it, Ashley.
Fuck this fact. And so it is that. And so cool. I'd done an interview with Carla Miller from the Washington Post, who's great. And we had talked about this and I had said in this like interview, like, oh, you know, someone literally said that to me. We were going to have like an icebreaker meeting. She's like, oh, can we not have these? Like, it makes me very uncomfortable. And I was like, oh my God, I'm really glad you told me that. And like, it just opened my eyes on that. And again, I felt like I was vulnerable. And I just think it's important for people to speak up and say when they change. The comments section, like, oh my God, people are like, you dumbass bitch. Of course people don't like that. And I'm like, okay, I under, so it is, like, I remember reading.
Ouch.
I know, there's this, I thought comment section on social media or something, comment section on news articles are a whole other ballgame. But I just think it's just one of those lessons that it's so important for anybody. And sometimes you're not a leader, quote unquote, you're not managing people, but as a colleague, you may do certain things. And just recognizing one of the great things about work is that it's one of the very few places in life that you actually do encounter people very different from you. And you can kind of curate your social media, your friends, marginally your family. But just recognizing what's comfortable to you isn't comfortable to others. And for me, that's been something that I've loved is when people do open up and share. And sometimes you may learn that, but you learn that when they're comfortable and as they're comfortable sharing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fuck your fun facts.
Well, one thing
make them optional. Just make everything optional.
I started doing at one company that I worked at. We would always have an HR department wide all hands meeting, and we'd always do an icebreaker. And so I found that if I was presenting the icebreaker fun fact for that, I would give it to people like a day in advance.
Have them submit it.
And it seemed to help. And there was better engagement and better responses. And sometimes people brought like show and tell with their fun fact. But still, I understand. Like I said, I even get anxiety when it's asked of me and I wasn't prepared. I'm like, fuck, I got to think of something good.
Well, and that's
like,
probably that. It's more that, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting? Like, But what did I, oh my, see, the best thing is, this is why I moved to Australia. I didn't move to Australia for my family, for my career.
Just for your fun fact?
Yeah, just exactly. So I could come back.
People go to Australia so she could have a fun fact.
Yes, yes. That was it. That was the only reason, really. I didn't, you know, the whole time I'm there and collected things. So, oh, well, fun fact. Oh, tell me about something there. Well, I have a list of 10 of them I created so that I have, that's it. That's the whole reason.
Oh, there you go.
Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So that's your fun fact then?
It's my go-to. Obviously, it's my go-to. And the problem is, if people know that, then I have to go deep and think, well, what story could I share from Australia? But it's a fun fact. People from Australia probably don't think living in America is a fun fact because we're not as fun as Australians are. But yeah, I have a go-to fun fact, or like, that's why I do unusual things. Like, mm-hmm. I went to clown camp. I'm sorry, what?
I mean, what? Did you say clown camp?
Well, yeah. I went to educational camp, and it included, I took a math course and a clown course. And this is why I don't have Lee's stories about state school and being adventurous personally.
Wait, hold on. In college you went to?
No, in middle school.
Okay. No, I feel a little bit better about this.
No, not in middle school. But anyway, so I have, but the things like that, you can say that, and I would think that's fun. And they're going to be, everybody else in the meeting is going to be like, fucking just another thing of this complete weirdo. Yeah, that's it.
There you go. You could just have a meeting of just all your fun facts.
Yeah, like that's, but that's what you, when you do unusual things, that can be helpful.
So
what's your guys?
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, well, that can be the first question the questies for the besties. Then we can go around and we can start with a fun fact.
All right,
piggyback off the cringe corporate speak.
There we go. I don't like have a go-to one. Like I usually always switch it up. But like I'll say something really stupid and generic to like, Halloween's my favorite holiday, or, you know, I keep it very basic and simple. When I respond to a fun fact, like what fun fact about you?
Yeah. I always, my go-to, cause I do have like a kind of a go-to is I'm the only child on both sides of our family that we can trace back for like 8 generations.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, crazy, because I come from a massive family.
Right,
like dad's one of 11, mom's one of 7. And so, and then they're, you know, they're big, you know, they're my grandpa, lots of kids. Yeah. So
very cool.
Just a bunch of bunnies, you know, in my, in my family tree, you know, except my parents. And now I don't really want to talk about that because that's kind of cringy. I know, exactly. I was like, hey, okay, that's gross.
Well, it's also the game, like two truths and a lie when people play that. And so I've already told my fun fact, but I'll say this. This was like, again, my first job out of college. I've spoken about sometimes with cold calling and my email,
FUPA.
Yeah, the FUPA. But we once had a happy hour and it was two truths and a lie. But so the manager, and it was like, you know, hours into it, thank God, no tongue licking. But the manager was reading them and she was like, what? I once drank 2 gallons of milk out of a tuba. And they're like, is that a lie? And they're like, no, it's true. But they made him up. There's a guy in the team that was a bit stiff. And so these people made up, okay, so somehow you had to like attribute names. And so these people on the team made up, and she's like, what? And said the person's name. He's like, I didn't do that, but he was very stiff. And so other people on the team, as a prank, made up facts
gives me bully vibes.
It was like,
that's kind of negative.
Like, okay,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm not curious. Yeah. That makes me a little uncomfy.
You're like, you thought it was cute, but now we're like, gross.
I remember it being funny. Well, he was also in a position of authority. And so he was like, it would be, you know, slightly different with the power dynamics. Oh, but I remember he was just different. The things they made up were like wild and crazy.
I would love to know if anyone has actually drank 2 gallons of milk out of a tuba.
Well, don't do that now.
I know. Message us if you have.
Do you have it on video?
Laughing again, and we'd have a number of drinks at the time, so it was funny. Or people listening are probably driving into work and they're like, that's strange.
Oh, okay. Gosh. Well, I think that's a wonderful transition into more questions.
Yeah, transition away from this. We're gonna parking lot.
That one's good. But you know, we do receive a lot of questions from you all, which are fantastic, and so we wanted to answer some of those for you all today. The first one that I have here from the question bank, I literally called it them. Share your most bizarre job interview experience you've encountered as an HR professional. And I guess that could be you interviewing or you interviewing somebody else. What do y'all think? Do you have one? I have one.
I was interviewing, but this was not in HR. This was legal. And this is when I was in legal and living in Australia, and the company I was interviewing with knew I lived in Australia. And they scheduled my interviews that started around like 11:30 p.m. midnight, my time, and continued on till 3:30 in the morning,
my time.
And I got the schedule and I was like, hey, just wanted to confirm local day. They're like, yeah, we know. If you can make it work, this is when we, these people can make. And they're very busy. And so, again, always. This is why we talk about the interview feels like a prize. And so my dumbass, what do? I stay up and I put on the blazer. I go down to my kitchen. Again, tell
everyone. Drinking coffee at midnight.
Tell my kids, if you guys have a bedroom, you know, go to daddy because mommy's got important interview.
Oh, my gosh.
What the fuck?
Yeah, no.
What's wrong with me?
Oh, man. So, that's brutal.
Yeah. I remember like, taking off the blazer, climbing into bed, trying to get a couple hours of sleep before I woke up and did my real job. So.
See, I've shared a lot of these on my TikTok, you know, like the firing squad interviews.
The firing squad,
I mean, just all sorts of different things that my dumbass has done too, you know. But I had one very similar, which I was interviewing for a role with a startup. So like anything goes. And it was like on a Friday and they wanted me to sit there going back to back, like 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., no bathroom breaks, hour interviews. And I was like, can we break these up a little bit? Like I kept asking, well, no, right? This is just when everyone's available and they're way more important than you, right? That's basically what they're saying.
Exactly.
Like, fuck your candidate experience. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Wear a diaper. That worked for that. Well, it didn't work out so well, but that astronaut across the country.
Wear a diaper.
For sure.
But the first one, like each interview was very interesting. Like someone took their interview with me while on a boat with her dog in her lap. But one of them, we were having the interview and because you said tuba, I'll share this one. I still need to do a TikTok on this one because this is some shit. But I'm having it and he's like in a den and I can see off, you know, I'm being distracted by a younger male, which I'm assuming is a son, like over here in like the living room through some French doors. And, you know, the person I'm interviewing with, he's talking, he's asking me questions, but I'm watching this kid over here. And then all of a sudden this kid pulls out a trombone. No shit. And he's getting a trombone prepared. He's practicing. Yeah. I see him put a stand together and I'm still trying to concentrate, but I'm kind of looking off this way and I'm like, oh shit, like this is what's going to happen here. And I'm literally answering a question and all of a sudden he starts practicing. He starts tromboning, right? And it's like, I literally fell off my chair. I fell off my chair in the interview and I had to like recover myself back to the seat. The dad, like he freaked out. He starts cussing at the kid. I'm watching all of this, you know, after I recovered from the floor because trombones are loud.
They are loud.
Oh my, it was so scary. It was like so scary. And he's over there having a fight with this kid and then he's slamming the French doors and then, you know, he comes back and it's like, oh, my heart is racing. Like, I mean, I'm like shaking because it was hilarious. So loud in my ear, you know, like, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, but I don't know if he puts milk in it or not. Like, I don't know if he drinks milk out of the trombone, you know, but that was some shit. So that was the first of like five back-to-back interviews on a Friday where I'm wearing, spandex on the bottom.
Yeah,
it's a party downstairs,
you know, and
it's a human professional mullet with the blazer upstairs.
I think I was racking my brain while y'all were talking.
It's like a typical meeting, you know, you're just waiting.
You weren't listening to us at all.
No, I was. Something that I found very odd. So I was first out of college and I was looking for a job and there was a staffing agency. Cause of course my degree was in human resources, a staffing agency, and they were very interested in hiring me. And I was very hesitant cause that's not really where I wanted to start my career. Mm-hmm. Not that that's a bad thing. That's just not what I wanted to do. And, the guy was like, so I interviewed, but he wasn't going to make me an offer until if I came in the next day. And I worked a day for him. Remember, I'm like, 22?
I know.
Right.
Taking full advantage of me coming in, working the next day. And he goes, oh, well, it's so-and-so's birthday in the agency. We're going to have cake. Like, that was my incentive to come in.
Ooh, cake.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, of course, I'm on the phone with him. And I'm like, okay, what time do you want me there? And I'm like writing all this stuff down. And I'm thinking, okay, this is my job out of college. And like, and I'm like, I don't want cake that bad.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that job. And I'm glad that I didn't because I ended up getting the benefits assistant job with, and I haven't mentioned where it was on the podcast, but it was Tractor Supply Company. Mm. And I always shout them out, but they're such a good brand and great company to work for.
Green flag.
But I'm glad. Yeah. I'm so glad that I did not take that staffing agency job or get free cake.
Well, so you didn't go? Thank goodness.
Well, and let me ask you this. I wrote him an email the next day and I was like, thanks, but no thanks.
Because I do think we get that sometimes.
You're like, I had cake for breakfast.
People, yeah, and I'm lately, good.
I can buy my own fucking cake.
One of, I think, sometimes the actually better innovations is people or whatever uses of social media is people recording these experiences.
Yeah.
Recording or talking about them.
Yeah.
And so I just saw one of someone that was like, I ended an interview after 60 seconds because of like, you know, all these things they were surprised about. Yeah. They were completely inconsistent. But one of the things is like how you phrase that. And so I think people taking that and saying, whether you say things like, this isn't going to work for me, if you feel more comfortable not telling them straight up, sometimes you got to do that. But like saying like, candidly, these are pretty unrealistic expectations that make me not interested in continuing further in the process. Like, I love when people can clearly communicate that and take themselves out and take that power back.
Yeah.
But honestly, thank God for social media and us like speaking about how don't do a free 8-hour day of work.
For real.
No, it's
because at 22, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I knew that I didn't want to be with that company regardless. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
And business and leaders and business owners don't do that. Don't require that. That is, that is going to set you up.
That's a free day of labor. Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous.
Thank you to our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. I've been using them for over a decade. I'm in HR. Not finance. So why would I use Yahoo Finance? Two examples. I started using Yahoo Finance over a decade ago when I joined a women's investment club. I used it to research different stocks, to read analyst reports, and then understand what they actually mean. And I still follow a lot of those same stocks today. Or if you have different 401ks or brokerage accounts, you can combine them in one place and see how they're doing. Yahoo Finance gives you tools and ideas all in that one place. It can break down financial news and research and help you become educated. You have your strengths, so let Yahoo Finance be your strength to get financial success. If you're not sure where to start, add in your accounts. Or if there's a brand you like, look up their stock and start monitoring it. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. It's the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Hello, besties. If you're a wine lover like me, I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks. It's called First Leaf, and I'm a member. And because I'm a member, I get to discover new wines that I am guaranteed to enjoy. And that's because First Leaf gets to know my unique preferences, and they can know your unique preferences too. To start, all I had to do was answer a few quick questions on their website about what flavors I like, how often I drink wine, and if I prefer red, white, and rosé. And I definitely let them know that I prefer reds and rosés, can't do whites because of New Year's 2005. But anyways, based on my answers, First Leaf then curated an amazing selection of wines just for me. And when I rate those wines after I enjoy them, my wine selection gets even more tailored. Any other Malbec people out there? Yeah, I'm quite the aficionado myself. But best of all, I get to choose when I want my box delivered and how often I get new assortments of wine. Being part of the First Leaf Wine Club also has its perks, like all clubs do. As a member, I get access to their incredibly helpful wine concierge. So if I want wine pairing advice or to talk about the wines in my box, even if I'm just a little lonely that day, I can always speak with one of their experts. Plus, I get member exclusive pricing on every order. You can't beat that. Join the club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/HRBesties to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/HRBesties. tryfirstleaf.com/HRBesties.
Question two here is, if we had to hire someone solely based on their social profile, what would we look for?
I don't like this question.
As hiring managers, as HR,
I mean, like, I would definitely hire like an Ashley, right? Because she is professional and knowledgeable in her approach on socials. Whereas me, I'm like cussing and kicking my work laptop and giving negative energy. So like, you wouldn't think that you'd want to hire me, right?
Right. I hear what you're saying. So I hear what you're saying on that.
See, I think people think employers are really looking at their socials. I've never looked at someone's socials.
Me neither. Now,
I have had hiring managers, though.
Like, I'll pass on candidates and the hiring manager will be like, well, on their social.
Right.
Why the fuck did you check their social media?
Yeah, on their social, they're chugging milk out of a tuba. What the fuck?
I find the people that check social media the most to be hiring managers in those listening. That means the people that are hiring for the role. So the sales manager, the IT, I find it's those people that actually tend to go deep. And then it's HR in smaller organizations where
they
and at times that's because as HR, you're often in a smaller organization, have HR recruiting, all of that. And the CEO is expecting you to bring in those candidates. And so that pressure can lead people to go to inappropriate, inappropriate places.
I'm trying to think. I'm all grammar and grammar and a social profile. I don't know. I've never looked at somebody's social before hiring them, just personally. Either. You know what I mean?
Like, if I was hiring for someone for my social brands, I think it'd be different, right? Like, I'd want to see.
Oh yeah.
I look at LinkedIn, but I've looked at LinkedIn on a number of occasions. I
don't even usually look at their LinkedIn. Nope. I do, to be honest.
I think LinkedIn's bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, that's also part of LinkedIn. Yeah. I mean, it's like
anything. It tells you a lot.
There's an episode on that.
But I tend to look at people's people's LinkedIn. But I've frequently been in the position of people bringing things to me, and then I have that conversation.
Oh, yeah,
like,
same.
Okay,
same.
You got to like, oh, this is fine.
And I'm like, why the fuck were you looking? Like, we haven't even hired this person.
Exactly.
Like, you can't.
I haven't even interviewed them.
I'm like, I thought you were so busy that you don't have time to do work.
Yeah, that's why I know. But you're checking the fucking Instagram.
Like,
And it's funny because I guess about 2 years ago on TikTok, I kind of got in a pissing match with a woman who said that employers are checking socials. And I'm not saying that it's not happening, but I can say in my 21 years, and social media has been around just about that long, that no company I have ever worked for ever has officially based a decision on it. Hiring managers, I know they have. Yes,
I've seen. Exactly. I know people that have based decisions on it, but at that point, especially when it's come through me, having been in both legal and HR, like I will generally be as legal telling people, do not look at these things.
Yeah,
these
don't
are
look
more
at shit.
Or it's things of like, oh, this woman dresses inappropriately, and I'm like, well, but have you gone to the beach? Like, I back up. But I have been in situations, and that's the thing, like out of work types of like very inappropriate posts, and in that stance, I've said like absolutely that those viewpoints are very concerning and illegal. So I have seen those situations, but then I'm always like, God, like, how did we get to this place? How did you get so deep? Like, oh, I stumbled upon that.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Well, I'll throw in a millennial misery comment in here, but even, you know, back in the day in Facebook, we were like told don't post your drunk bar pictures because your employers are going to see that.
Yeah.
Well, my shit's on private, but okay.
I'm just amazed with what people put on Twitter back in the day. Like, I'm not a good Twitter person, but the things that people put on Twitter of like their musings and their rambling things and their like uses of like very like inappropriate the terminology. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, like that, not just job wise, like life wise, just to fucking keep inside thoughts.
Right. Inside thoughts.
Or not. Don't have thoughts. Inside even thoughts. Better. But.
All right. Next question here. Have we ever had to deal with a situation where an employee's side hustle interfered with their job performance? I've had the candle seller, like in the workplace where it was just like extreme trying to sell the damn candles, and then the tacos. Cause I had someone that was making the tacos and then bringing them in and then selling them. So I've had numerous taco situations that were the workplace. Right. I've shared a couple already, but one where literally, I mean, it was just, she's making them, she's late because of that. They're in a cooler. The cooler has to be brought in on a cart. Then she's selling, you know, like you're not doing your actual job. You're not the caterer. You know, we didn't hire you for that, but I love your tacos. Yeah. So
I think, I mean, me personally, I don't think it has affected my job, but I know that, you know, since I've been posting on social media since September of 2020 is when I started Humorous Resources. I know that numerous times that my TikToks have been brought up to, you know, my boss or my employer And even though they're not cutting into my work or my time at work, or I, you know, like that is my side hustle.
Right.
This is my side hustle. Mm-hmm. And so that's disappointing because I think you can have both and you can do both separately. Obviously not Taco Lady or Candle Lady, but especially, God, and where we're living right now in this world, a lot of us have to have side hustles.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So I'm kind of empathetic millennial. To that. Just don't, you know, don't let it bleed over so much.
Right.
That
I mean, honestly, that we like... I mean, like we could probably do a whole episode on that.
I know, right?
But I think side hustles, like, we'll note it. Yeah. It's the pressure of like the employee, or often it's the leader who's like, my child. And that has the pressure of being like, oh, your child's, oh, you know. God.
Selling,
you
know, chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Like Girl Scout cookies, yeah. But please, I will buy them.
But I know... But I know someone who's in the social media world who has a side hustle, and their company had them lead a session for people to show how you've had a side hustle and how they've been able to navigate, like making sure it's not competitive, because like that's a boundary I think is obviously fair, like because I've had that of like having a situation where an employee was a salesperson and then they also had their other thing and they'd go to meetings for the company and they'd be like, well, if you don't want to buy this, I also have the, and said like, that's a problem to have a conflicting thing that you're selling for, but this person's company. And I was like, that is so cool. And so they had to talk about how they do that from a time standpoint of like confidential information and how you navigate those boundaries and do that. And again, the point also is like, we don't want you to have to do that, but this is how you can do it. And I thought that was such a great like flip of the switch. So I think for people listening, thinking about that, if there's somebody there that has like a very cool side hustle, like a photography business or something, of like how you do that and how you navigate that as a company, I think there's a lot of opportunities there that people miss because you see like no side hustle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I had to turn my side hustle into a full-time hustle.
Yeah.
You are hustling. So I quit the corporate thing. You know what I mean? The thing. The corporate. Nearly 20 world. Years was enough of that shit for me.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business, because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
We appreciate those questions. Yes. Thank you so much. And I think that we can transition into questions and comments. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can ask each other some more questions, like fun facty questions. I have a question.
Okay.
I have like a go-to icebreaker that I like to use. So I got
one. Okay. If you weren't doing what you were doing now, mm-hmm. right? Or when you were younger, what would the dream job be? Like if you could do it.
Okay.
You know,
she's ready.
She has all the fun fact questions answered.
What I am doing is partially what I wanted to do my whole life is partially what I am doing now that I went 2 decades without. And this is when I was a kid, I did want to be a lawyer and I didn't really want to be a lawyer. I just said it. And so I made a sheriff's badge at the Kentucky State Fair. That's it. Ashley Vinsel, my name when I was 10 years old. What a fucking loser. But actually not, like, corporate lawyer. Ashley Vinsel, corporate lawyer.
Oh my God.
And I don't know why I didn't have any lawyers in our family. My parents at that point in time, I think both neither had graduated college at that point. But anyway, but what I really wanted was to be a playwright. And I ended up going to the youth performing arts school in high school and taking classes for playwriting, had play performed at the Kentucky Center for the Arts. I got second, I think, in this playwriting competition when I was a kid in like the whole city.
That is so awesome,
and
actually.
I loved it and I wanted to do it. And then I went to college and I just put it to the side. And so I then, like the way I do it now is with my TikToks. I script.
Yeah, your newsletters are fire. That's your best work. I love the newsletters. She's a good writer.
And so, yeah.
Write my shit for me. I'm not even kidding.
If you are listening to this and you're like, but I always wanted to do this, there are ways that you can weave it in. And sometimes people are like, wake up at 4 a.m. and do that. Like, I fucking cannot do that. But you find ways and snippets to do it. I have come alive in doing it. Yeah. And even though I do it about HR things, which isn't exactly what I thought I wanted to do, but what I wanted to do is write a spec script for The Office. And I talked about this 15 years ago called Whoa Manager for a Day, and do a script about how Michael Scott realizes there's no managers, female managers, because there weren't at Dunder Mifflin. And so he had a competition to have something called Whoa Manager for a Day for a female to become a manager. And so I had this whole spec script and again, did nothing with it, but I have now woven that concept into some of my TikTok videos with Luke. But that is my thing. And so I think you can find ways to make it come alive. But I've always wanted to be a playwright. I do have a whole screenplay on something else.
That's awesome.
Ooh, that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
So growing up, this is actually really funny. I always wanted to be a radio DJ.
What?
I know. That's why it's so funny right now that here we are.
You did. I remember you
having a semi-successful podcast. So,
I'm having a successful one. You can keep your semi shit to yourself. Okay.
We're in the always top 10 of the Apple Business Podcast charts.
I mean,
a humble brag. Anyway, but no. So, I used to have this cassette recorder, and my mom, actually, I still have some of the cassettes. And so, I would literally record myself a whole radio morning show.
Jamie.
So it's very funny that I'm sitting here on this couch with you ladies.
Mic in your face.
I know.
That's so cool. So,
yeah, I know. Isn't that wild? Yeah. But yeah, I'm a very creative person. So creating humorous resources for me was a great outlet. And I don't think I realized how much I didn't have an outlet. Because in HR, you don't. It can be black and white, but you can get some fun in there. But this social media and this podcast has really allowed me to, kind of flex my creative muscle. What about you, Lee?
Yeah, I wanted to be a checkout person at the supermarket. Because remember back in the day, it was the laser, red asterisk.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
And it was so cool. Yeah,
sure.
So I had all these pictures that I drew when I was in preschool and kindergarten because I wanted to do that. And then I wanted to be an Egyptologist and I learned hieroglyphics all crazy and I'd write in hieroglyphics. And I love that. And that's still the number one place I want to go is Egypt.
That is really fucking cool.
I haven't been yet. So it's the top place for my whole life.
Did you ever work at a grocery store?
No. But yeah. I still feel like I want to do that just part-time sometimes.
I've worked at Winn-Dixie. I've worked at Kmart. It is very...
I don't know something about
it. It's very satisfying. But sometimes now the self-checkout, you can have the gun. If anybody's ever worked at a grocery store, I'm going to say 4011 and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Do y'all know what I mean?
No, of course not. Because I worked
at a grocery store.
Thank you.
When
I worked at Winn-Dixie, we had to do a test of all the codes, but cashier, that's your telltale if you worked in a grocery store. You'll never forget 4011.
Yeah. But then I grew out of the Egyptologist thing and I always wanted to be an opera singer. So I'm operatically trained.
You sang this morning. You sang Evita to us. You have a beautiful voice.
I know
voice.
It all. Yeah. So I do. But I'm a mezzo. You can tell because my voice is so low. I'm not a soprano. I would love to be the lead, because I was I played the violin too. And I was always a first violin.
Would you sing for us?
No, I'm not going to sing on this shit. I'm not
that's
ready.
Extra. You got to
yeah,
pay
that's extra. It's way too loud. No, it's actually really, really loud, and I have to stand it to sing with my diaphragm and all of this. If you actually wanted the opera, I can do it for you later. But
yes, please.
It's a little different here. I can't just do it,
Come on, perform, Lee.
No, dance, monkey.
True. It's like when you make a video and people are like, great, now make one about a completely different topic. But okay, I'll catch up.
Yeah. But I would if I could,
You do, but at least sang this morning. Jamie and I sang. It was on our stories, which
But I wasn't good enough to make money.
Beautiful.
You know what I mean? Like that, it was all about money. But I remember I did see something somewhere that said, if you didn't have to worry about money, all of us would be doing the arts.
Of course. Yes.
It's so true because we love to create. Humans actually want to create. Yeah. They crave it, Q's and C's. Anybody else got a Q?
I was just going to, my question for y'all was, what is your go-to icebreaker? I can go first if y'all want.
So yeah, because I don't do them, so that's my answer.
I will usually ask, like, if you, what would be your at-bat music? Okay. Yeah.
At-bat music.
Like, yeah, like, you know how it went in baseball? Like, sometimes, okay. Yeah, they walk up and they have, like, a hype-up song.
Smooth by Rob Thomas and Santana.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I just love that song.
It feels like your vibe.
Yeah, I just love it.
Yeah.
You know how it starts? Like, oh.
I like that a lot. I mean, probably Welcome to Atlanta.
Oh, that's a good one. You know, Welcome to Atlanta, where the players
play. Like, I love that. And I get all excited when I go to Braves game. Like,
yeah.
Okay, there you go.
What about you?
Mine, so I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the pod, but, like, I literally wanted to be Little Kim. Like, I wanted to be...
yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah,
actually.
Like, I've always been obsessed with her, so probably be the Jump Off.
That's a great...
You got matching booties.
Like Little Kim, I seriously.
Oh, that's amazing! I can totally see that.
Yeah,
love it.
I love that too.
Okay, so we talk about corporate cringe, and this doesn't have to be a corporate word. So, just quickly, what is a word that you like saying? That you go, oh, it feels good when you say it.
Oh, squirt.
No. Oh, that's oh gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Carly, you can cut that out.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Carly, cut that out. I was just kidding.
Leave that in. Carly's our producer. She's trying to get that word out of here. Don't you dare exit that. Like,
I'm trying to be all positive. Let's give people a good... You're looking in my ear with that.
Oh, my gosh.
Fun, but come on.
I love three-syllable words. Okay. Like, I love, like, when... That sounds so like weird, syllable? But this is me. I'm all poetic and shit. Like syllable, right? Syllable. I just love...
That's weird. Check in real quick.
I do, you know, you've seen my content. Like, there's like this art of language, and I just like the timing of everything and the cadence of everything. I think about all of that. And so I love the longer words because I can keep them in my mouth longer and I can do things with them, right? Because I'm kind of like a voice actor.
That sounds so dirty.
It does sound dirty. You know, that's what I'm saying. But it is like, it just like, you know, brings me life, right? It's one of those things. Like, that's my thing, right? So using my voice.
Yeah.
So I just, alliteration is so beautiful. Serendipitous.
I don't know if I have a word that I love saying.
Besides squirt.
I really, like, I can't think of anything. I love, like, obviously with all my brands, I love like a, like millennial misery, horrendous HR. Like I love,
you love alliteration.
Oh, parody parenting.
Alliteration.
Yeah, good alliteration.
Like I love all that. And like then obviously my husband and I both have J names. Our last name's a J. Our kids are J's. So like all of our,
she's like a Kardashian.
Yeah, she's a Kardashian.
All our dogs are B names. That was not completely on accident, but
BJ?
B names. We BJ, got know, Biscuit, B, Blue, got B and Biggie. So like, you know what I mean? I think,
okay.
I just love alliteration.
Yeah. I got that.
What about you? Did you say one?
I didn't. I like sassafras.
Oh, that's
sassafras.
A fun one.
Ooh. Oh, I say razzle dazzle.
Okay. It's kind of like, I feel like there's like glitter that
rhythm.
Comes up.
Totally. Yeah. Glitter. Yeah.
Razzle dazzle. I love Chicago. It's such a great music.
Oh yeah, I know. Right. Well, thank you so much for letting us give you a little of our razzle-dazzle and sassafras and squirts. Oh, that's, oh, God. Well, not like that. Jesus. But anyways, you know, that's a wonderful segue to finish this meeting before some of us get written up.
Jamie's
gonna have a real fun fact. Fun fact. I got written up for saying squirt.
Exactly.
Discipline.
Thanks for letting us share some of our fun facts with you, besties.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.